We are the latest generation of hackers. We grew up playing video games. We were the ones who looked for all the hidden items and figured out cheat codes. We saw what computers could do and thought, I think we can do more. We heard of hackers from the mass media and thought, I want to know exactly how to do what they do. Even as these hackers were made out to be criminals, we still wanted to learn. We eventually found out that hacking is not evil, which settled better with our morals. We're here to share and educate. We are BaseNet Radio.
So that, like...
This is Slicko, your host. With me today for episode 1-6 of BaseNet Radio is... You could say your name.
No. Oh, hey.
You're Morbid. You're the only one here, Morbid.
Okay. So. Yeah, what's up?
Yeah. As you know, we have multiple sections to the show. We have more than enough sections to fill the show, but most, as usual, with no content. Again this time. And that's just because we're too lazy to research on server that week. You'll hear that email soon enough. We have more than enough sections to fill the show. I read that part already. Anyway, any reproduction or retransmission of this material is
encouraged.
Right, that's why this MP3 is available for download at our website, basenet.slickzero.net, and it will be there for the next month since I'm just doing it like monthly. Every month I rotate Twitch 4 actually up there, and I do not have the 128 up there anymore. So yeah, it's time to... What was that?
No.
Oh, just cool.
I'd say cool. There's actually some structure to it now.
Yeah, possibly. Well, it's time for Distro of the Week. Distro of the Week is nothing more than a report done on a distro that was used by one or more of us throughout the week, or not used at all throughout the week, because there was absolutely no time. Because hell is frozen over this week.
Really?
Because Longhorn... Well, not released, but... That's you would expect me to say something like that. No, Debian 3.1 Sarge is released. Debian.
Cool.
Sarge released. Those three words were like I think that was the most common phrase I heard on April 1st this year. Debian Sarge was released. Yeah, right. But it really was released, and Debian is interesting distribution. It's very, very stable, obviously, since it takes them, let's see, when was the last one? 3 years ago. 2002. Around this time.
Way before, long, a lot longer than I've been using Linux.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I remember when that came out, I checked it out. A lot of people use it, a lot of people know about it, so it's not like I have to go on too much about it. Let's see. It's a reason not to use Gentoo, so yeah, go for it. it's worth checking out. It's worth getting to know. Apt-get, it's a very popular, many distros, not even Debian. Ubuntu uses it. Debian came up with the apt-get system. They use that for downloading binaries and installing them onto your system.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, what else do I have to mention about it? It's ported to a lot of architectures, I know. Let's see, I'm doing this all off the top of my head. I didn't write any of this down. I actually just read the news that it came out, like, how long ago would you say? 10 minutes?
Maybe,
yeah. So it's just like, my brain is like upside down. And also, you'll hear a lot of interesting news this week involving hell freezing over. Did I say that already?
Yeah, you did.
Apple, Intel.
Oh, yeah.
No, I didn't say that.
You didn't say that one. Though. You did the whole hell freeze over thing.
Yeah, I know I said hell freeze is over, but I... Yeah, hell hasn't frozen over yet. Gaming FM is still playing some weird music back there. Anyway, I should definitely at this point get on to the next section. Is it a different song? No, damn.
No.
Oh, well.
I don't like this song.
No, neither do I. Fade out soon. Come on, fade out.
Is it?
Keeps sounding like it's going to,
yeah,
but it's not.
Okay.
That's just because I'm getting very heavy on the limiting on it. Anyhow, first email. Let's see, which one is the first email? It would be this one. Have you ever thought of having an IRC channel, maybe for people to hang out on and discuss the show while it streams on BinRev? Or Rant Radio, for that matter. I know that you can already do this on Pound BinRev, but it might be nice to have a channel just for your show, especially with the BinRev channel as busy as it is at the time your show streams. If you think there could be benefits to having a channel, I would be happy to maintain one for you. Just a thought. Keep up the good work. And that was Ghostless.
Hey, and haven't heard from you in a while.
Yeah, you know, I'm not even on game, so I don't even know. Are you on in that channel?
I'll go into the chat room to see if you...
Because that's we use an AIM chat when we're doing the show, so...
Yeah.
Anyway, he emails, says, later on, he says, alright, one more email from me, haha, because he emailed me a few other things. I went ahead and registered a Pounds Basenet on Dalnet. So, okay, I haven't been able to get on Dalnet for some reason. I don't know, is it Dalnet itself, irc.dal.net, or is it a sub-part of Dalnet, like the same part that BinRev's on? I don't know, I didn't bother to check out. But yeah,
I'm the only one in the room. I'm lonely.
You're lonely?
Yeah.
Alright, I'll get on there shortly, but I'm going to run IRSSI at this moment, and try to connect to, same server that BinRev is on, that's, rumble.fl.us, I'm doing this from memory, .dal.net, and let's see, yes, I connect, so that must be it, and let's see, what is it, slash that, okay, how do I get a channel list? Do you know how to get a channel list on IRC?
I've never used IRC.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
I usually use Xchat, so maybe I should quit and just run Xchat.
I'm usually playing video games.
You video games?
No, never.
Oh, okay. Just making sure scared me the first
time. Or working nowadays. That happens a lot.
What's working? Oh, yeah, that's stuff I'm supposed to do, but don't.
Employment.
Alright, yes, here we go. Familiar X thing. Join channel. How do I see channels? Everybody listening right at this point is screaming at me. It's just slash list or something. I don't know. Actually, I didn't try that yet. But I already found window channel list and refreshed this list, so... Yeah, let's find out if it's this one. Damn, there's a lot on here.
So are we there?
I'm looking. It keeps refreshing. Whoa. A lot of users on a lot of channels. And, okay.
Yeah. I'm guessing none in a BaseNet channel.
Well, let's find... Come on. Damn it, stubbery. Wow, this thing just keeps going.
Okay, well...
I'll get onto another email, and I'll update people on that later, because everybody's just like... I could hear, like, the flow of people just logging off of the stream or whatever. Anyhow, once I find the email window again. Okay, yes, another email. Firstly, sorry you got screwed bandwidth-wise. We can't believe it cost that much without them notifying you. Well, it's not exactly in their interests, anyway. Secondly, any info on the server of the week idea? I thought it sounded great, and you could use some more sections. Apache could probably keep you going for a whole show. That's true.
Yeah, I never even thought of that.
That's true, but the thing with that is that it would take a whole show, an hour's worth of research. Imagine for school you're told to like do a presentation on Apache, and you're told to make it 5 minutes long. You're like, oh, do I have to?
5 minutes is what, maybe 4 hours of research?
Yeah, seriously, it's...
Well, if you want 5 good minutes.
Right, that's true. We could... Plus the way we bullshit half the time.
five good minutes is a couple hours of research.
Yeah.
Because, you know, reading takes up time. And then you have to sift through all the bullshit in it to find out which is actually worth talking about.
Yeah. But... We'll eventually get to it. Because you see that sometimes we do some sections, sometimes we don't do a section, and we have sections that... We have, like, 8 sections right now.
Yeah, we just don't
use
most of them.
Well, 7, I believe.
Come
sure
on,
eight.
Remember, question of the week.
Oh, yeah. If you have a question,
email us.
Anything.
We will find out.
You know, I should read... did I ever read through these?
No.
The list of different opening, like... You see that? I have, like, a page full of what I read for each opening.
Go through it.
I never go through any of these. I go through, like, intro. which I totally messed up this week. I go through distro of the week from time to time because it's a weekly thing. Everybody knows what it is. I go through email. That's the easiest one. That starts the email section of the show. That means we must have gotten some email. I mean, come on. But some of them are longer. Oh, an ending I have written out there too as well. Interview. That's a short one. Biznet on the road. That's, well,
we should
I could have done that this week.
You should have done that.
I totally could have done this. Went to the Triple H Ranch. They were having a party again, so that was fun.
I went and got burned at the beach.
Anyway, that's Biznet on the road is clips of recordings done outside of the studio. Guest interrogation is when we have a guest.
Okay.
Also, listener question, interview. I said interview.
Do you have audio for guest interrogation?
What was that?
Do you have an audio clip for, like, this?
Oh, yeah.
You do? I've never heard this one.
You've never heard it?
No.
Oh, well, maybe it's time for me to play it, even though there is no guest.
No.
Well, you were the guest at one point, but you never did a guest interrogation,
did you?
Oh,
this is the second show. Or third show, come on.
Yeah, but you never did a guest interview. Okay. We'll be right back.
Well, I've never actually... No, I haven't heard that one.
No, you haven't heard that one?
No. Okay.
Oh, wow. That's a guest interrogation. Time for you to get interrogated.
Okay.
Everybody knows you already, so they already know everything. Okay, too late for that. But did I even finish reading that email? All right, let me finish reading that. No, because I did not. Patrick Kugi going for a whole show is where I left off. It sucks for us that the high quality is only for streaming. It streams at about 4 in the morning in the UK. Yeah, well... The point is that you could listen to it. That's it. I'm still being a sound Nazi about it, because you never know.
Oh, you're still offering the high quality, or no?
Upon request only.
Oh!
So yeah, if you want to request it, just... Send me an email and I'll get it to you some one way or another. Anyway, by the way, any headway on getting a webcam, even a cheapo £10 would be nice. Pound as currency.
Yeah.
It would be very funny to watch you all strangling each other and eating Jell-O and stuff. Yeah.
Do you have the old black and white video camera we could somehow rig into something?
What was that?
Get your old black and white video camera, put it into a TV tuner card, and use that.
Yeah. Anyway, tried menu OS that you mentioned in episode 13. I missed 14. It runs great on my... Oh yeah, a lot of people missed 14. It runs great on my bot. Bots. I think really nice for learning 32-bit assembler. Finally, What stream are you playing as a background? I think you mentioned it in an earlier episode, but due to the lack of archives, it's great music and good for programming, too. Well, the stream is GamingFM, just GamingFM.com.
Isn't that the same, like, explanation you gave when you talked about it?
Yeah.
It's great music and good to program, too.
Yeah, well, well, no, I didn't say that. I said that half of them are annoying as hell. See ya and keep up the good work. And it says go to... I didn't go to that. I didn't even notice that before. I don't know if it's a... Oh, well, yeah, I'll finish what I was working on before. What was I looking
finishing
for before?
Finishing to read that.
Finishing to read this?
You want me to finish reading this? The different sections
No,
we have?
I think I already did read all the different...
You finished the sections?
I don't know. I was going, like, up and down and up and down, so...
Okay, listener questions. We got... Yeah, okay, well, yeah.
Oh, this is what I was doing before. Yeah, this is ADD. Yeah, speaking of ADD...
There's the ADD chat room?
No, but I'm just... I'm scrolling, like, page at a time, and I'm still on A's. Now I'm on B's, I'm on BB. So let's say B-A-S... Nope, it's not on this one.
Yeah.
No, it's got to be on normal dialnet, which I'm never able to connect to. I think it's because I don't have iDent or something.
Okay, this is going to be a noob question,
because right.
I've never used it. Do I need to get anything to connect to IRC?
Just an IRC client. Like Xchat or...
Okay.
I'll do that in a second and see if I can get it. Okay, any more mail left or no?
No. I don't believe so. Oh my god. Yeah, this is it. I was able to get, maybe because I never tried using Xtract joining Dalnet. I only tried with, the normal thing that I...
Xtract.
Oh no, before I said I normally use Xtract, now I forget which... No, because I normally use IRSSI because I have to shell in from work because they disable IRC. So...
So, anyway. Is anyone in there? No?
Looks like there's like two people besides me. Yeah, join.
Let me get Xtract.
Okay.
If I don't have it.
Anyway, at this point we will go into the news section. That's something we have something of. Be right back. That begins the news. And I'm pulling my paper back from Morbid so I could remember what to read. In this section, we will be discussing news from this past week in the tech and computer industries, as well as any other news we find relevant to the general idea of hacking. We try to vary our sources, so you may hear something on this show that you may not have heard elsewhere. Also, if you would like to be a BizNet correspondent, simply send us an email with an audio attachment of yourself doing a report on something of your interest. It can be anything from reading and commenting on tech news to reporting on an interesting hack. Or if you want, if you have a section that you would like to contribute to this show, please feel free to email any of that pre-done. I mean, pre-packaged, just a wave or MP3 or something that I could just hit play on and, like, kill 5 minutes. That'd be cool. Anyway, yes, I guess you could start off with the news since you got more.
Okay, let me pull something up because I was in the middle of getting Xtract and, you know, the laptop is slow-tastic. Okay.
How slow-tastic is your laptop? There's part of the guest interrogation right there.
Not as slow as it used to be. When we started the show, if I opened more than 5 tabs in Firefox, the computer would yell at me and die.
Oh, wow. And what's the difference between then and now? Aren't you still running Arch?
We redid it. Remember, we originally had Arch, and I had a lot of problems on it. Like, stupid shit wouldn't work, and now we redid it, and it actually works very nice. Also, you gave me 128 megabytes more of RAM.
Oh, yeah, that could do so. That can make a difference.
Okay, what networks do I want to join? Dal?
Dal.net.
D-A-L-net?
Yep.
And my nickname is whatever. Okay, that works. Double clicky. Okay, news. Yeah, I forgot about that thing.
Yeah, that whole news situation. What about that?
Okay, news. We got, Apple's the big thing in news this
week.
Yeah,
we already kind of mentioned that.
Apple's everything. What annoys me is the fact, you know, Apple makes really good hardware.
Yeah.
And their stuff is like, I mean, I know it's not an important detail, but it's beautiful, first of all.
Well, yeah, they'll keep it that way, I'm sure.
It's beautiful. The display, that's a big thing, I guess. The fact that the displays are beautiful, like, it's very user-friendly. We all love it. But what annoys me is the fact that the only recognition that Apple has now, and the only thing that actually changes, like, the public's opinion on Apple, is the iPod.
Eh.
They have so much... Well, not so many, but they have other things which work really well and are just, in genuine, really good products. And iPods are the only things that anyone pays attention to anymore. And that's... Well, the news story with that is... I just closed it by accident.
Wow.
Apple
will be using Intel chips.
No, that's not it.
No, that's not it.
That's a different one.
What story did you get on them then?
The iPod.
The iPod? What about the freaking iPod?
It's the fact that, like I said, the whole intro of the fact that people only care about the iPod now,
right,
is that stocks have fallen in Apple just because there's been slower sales of the iPod.
Wow.
Does no one care about any other things they make? First of all, I'm in love with their 23-inch monitor that they have, which I can never afford. But, I mean, yeah. That's my opinion on that.
Interesting.
Yeah. I don't know if you have any strong opinion either way of that, but that's my opinion on the subject. Oh,
Okay.
I was starting to be a Sanasi, but then it started making too much noise.
Okay, so now we'll move on to the story that you kept commenting on.
Yes.
Okay. Apple moves to Intel may signal faster, cheaper Mac laptops. What do you think?
Laptops, yes. Because the Centrino, even for x86, that's a decent processor. That's a very nice processor for laptops. And I believe I read something else this week. Now I'm pissed off that I didn't move that over to the base net folder and the art of links, but whatever. What was it? Intel something. Oh yeah, they were going to start using Centrino chips and other things as well. Not just laptops. So, that's interesting.
Well, what the whole reasoning they're given for this is they say that Intel chips, of course, less. We know that.
Well, yeah, that's obvious. Less,
run faster and generate less heat than the products built by Motorola Inc. and Enterprise Business Machines Corp.
Really? I always thought PowerPC chips were very cool.
Well, this is what they claim. Using Intel chips may enable Apple to make smaller, lighter laptops and more macho, high-performance laptops than possible with IBM and Motorola chips.
Wow.
That's because the processors create less heat and require less cooling, making it easier to build the slimmer styles consumers prefer. But the thing is, Apple laptops tend to be slimmer than...
Well, the laptops.
Yeah, but that's the whole thing. They're saying because...
No, but they're talking... Well,
no, they're talking about laptops.
Wait.
They're saying that with the Intel chip instead of the IBM...
No, you know why? Because they wanted to get a G5 laptop out.
Yeah.
I mean, that's been rumored for about a year and a half now, that there was going to be a G5 laptop out very soon, very soon. It's always very soon.
Yeah.
And it seems like they're unable to because of the heat that the G5 generates.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the G5 was the first architecture made when IBM was on a team. IBM and Motorola were working together or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they got something fast, they got something sweet, but they didn't get something cool. And I guess that's what the missing link that they're looking for, and they found that Intel could do it. But I don't know if they're going to be doing it with power. If it's still going to be based PowerPC, or if it's going to be x86 based. A lot of rumors going around that they may move to the x86, but I would like to see if it has an AltaVec instruction code in there as well, so it would be somewhat more easily compatible without emulation with the older stuff. AltaVec, I don't know how it's pronounced, but whatever.
Okay, where the hell is BaseNet? Do I click channel list?
What you need to do is hit /J/.
Well, this stupid channel list won't go away.
Oh, you open channel list?
Yes, I open
channel. Just wait for it to...
Okay. I open channel list. I guess I did something wrong.
Well, no, that's fine, but...
Yeah, and it's... Oh, God, this is gonna suck. Okay.
Yeah, on that computer.
Okay, so... What do you... x86 thing?
I don't know. I mean... That was that. That was weird.
A dip in music, I don't know.
Oh, I think the limiter's messing up. Latspa. What are you going to do? Let's see. Topic. x86, that's right. I don't know how much... I don't think x86 could do anything quicker than PowerPC at this point. I mean... But then again... I don't know. It's hard to tell. Which path they should take. I prefer PowerPC myself, but then again, right now I use x86 because, well, Linux on PowerPC isn't nearly as good at doing all the stuff I do on Linux, so.
Okay, what do I do again? Now?
Okay, you got the channel list gone. Okay,
yeah,
that's what that look was.
Yeah, the channel list is gone.
Okay, at the bottom where it looks like where you type a message.
Yeah.
/J/.
Yeah.
Pound, like the shift 3.
Yeah.
BaseNet. And you are on.
Ooh, Ghostless is idle.
Alrighty. Yep. So, well, this is the chat room. Very cool.
Can I add this to favorites?
Huh? What, you're using Xchat? Does Xchat even have favorites?
That's what I'm asking.
Oh, I don't think so. I don't know. Well, it's not hard.
Okay.
Anyway, let's get on to more news.
Okay. Okay, so let's see what we have going on here. If you go back to Firefox. Thank you.
Yeah, that computer's slow.
Dell to launch the Lexus, in quote, lineup of PCs.
Huh?
Is so,
Lexus, like, the car?
Yeah. So what they're saying is, you know, how Toyota and Lexus are the same thing. Lexus is owned by Toyota.
Right.
So what they're going to try to do is make a premium range of desktops PCs aimed at upper-crust buyers. Consider the Lexus of our lineup, you know.
Okay.
So pretty much they're going to stop. Well, not that they're
going to stop using Windows on them.
No. Well, I was going to say, but then it would have been stupid because there's never actual any, in my opinion, quality Dell PCs. So they're going to actually make quality Dell PCs, except probably they're going to. I don't know if they're going to throw them under another name because that would be the Lexus thing.
Yeah.
Or if they're just going to actually have a certain like a mod, you know. What's the word I'm looking for?
I do not know.
You know, like a certain series, that's it. Of
who knows?
Yeah, so. Let's see.
Well, Dells are known for being cheap.
And crap.
Well, and that, but some people prefer them, some people don't. It's.
Yeah.
You know what it is?
Preference.
Exactly. It's. I don't prefer them because I could build it myself. And that's pretty much how it goes. If you could put a PC together yourself, then why not? It costs only like $300, $400 for a decent machine.
Laptops.
Well, yeah, laptops, that's true. But I don't have a Dell.
Yeah, neither do I.
I have a Toshiba.
I have a Comcrat.
Yeah, oh, wow, look at that.
We're doing great.
All laptops made up of shit and crap. And I do have an Apple, though. I can't make any.
Yeah, so why don't you... You should use it. I don't know. Okay.
Yeah, I should. I paid enough for it.
Let's see. Here's a nice, pretty picture.
Not as much as I'm not paying for my bandwidth bill.
Are you going to work that one out?
Oh, I'm going to work that out. First, I was going to call the credit card company today. I'm going to call them tomorrow. But then I'm going to have a fun conversation with Kanaka, however it's pronounced. And, yeah, I'm pretty much gonna be like, yeah, you could cancel me. I know, I'll finish the year up because I already paid for it. But, yeah, just cancel me for the renewal process. And, also the invoice that was given to me, about a week ago, don't expect me to pay that. And then if they ask why, I'll just be like, well, I could have prevented this from happening if I had had SSH access enabled originally, which wasn't, I found out. And I did try to log on originally. But okay, here's the deal. When I first got the website, first thing I did, of course, I'm like, oh, cool, now I have shell access to this machine. Nice. So I tried shelling in. Didn't work. And I'm like, oh, they may be setting a few things up. So I just went on FTPing and whatnot, since I couldn't configure anything I wanted to. And then, you know, just went on using the website. And then this happens, where somebody's sucking up, like, 100% of the bandwidth. 210, for that matter. And, what ended up happening was I tried shelling in so I could change the rules so I wouldn't let this happen again. SSH still doesn't work. They never enabled SSH access, which, with the silver plan, they should have. So now everybody knows what I paid for everything, but who cares?
Didn't we say it at some point?
Yeah, I think I did. But the invoice that I got this week was for $2,660.70. I think that was a little high, but I don't know. Who knows? What's that weird look? What are you reading?
Download episodes at I'm looking in our IRC chat. Topic for Basement Radio. Download episodes at http://audio.textfiles.com/shows/basement.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They mirror our shows.
Oh, okay.
So. Yeah, I got in. Ghostless, actually, that was another email that he sent me. That the audio.textfiles.com/shows/basenet is mirroring us our stuff. They only have up to 11, though.
Mm.
So. Or 1-1, I should say. But yeah, what was I saying? Oh, yes, they didn't enable SSH access, so I'm gonna tell when I'm on the phone with them, if they ask me, you should pay, or, you know, if they do whatever their scripted thing is to do, I'll just be like, well, you should have enabled SSH access so the attack could have been prevented. And that wasn't done. So even if you went to try and, like, you had to go as far as sue me, I could just counter-sue your assholes.
Be careful with that, but...
I know.
Yeah.
I don't wish to take it that far.
Yeah.
But if it comes down to it, then I have a case.
Yeah.
Cause
they could go with the fact that you should have checked back on the whole SSH thing, but...
I just remembered something, too, because I emailed them. I told, like, telling them the situation, Kanaka this is. And one of the things the guy says, well, you should say pay the bill for the bandwidth anyway. And I'm like, I didn't even mention that, but he's telling me I should. And I'm like, okay, that's not going to happen, but whatever. It was in the middle of a run-on sentence, too, which was funny. What was he saying? Oh, yeah, and to fix your SSH problem, well, you have to send a fax to some international number. Well, no, not international. It was still the basic 10-digit code, but Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhat international. And include a photo ID of yourself, your signature, what you want opened, and what the domain name is. And
that's sketchy.
Especially since they don't have a photo of me. They don't have my real signature.
Mm-hmm.
Everything I did through them was online.
Mm-hmm.
Why do they want that crap? Does that mean that I could just send, okay, I am this person, I just do, like, a very minimal amount of social engineering, finding out, like, stuff on this person. Actually, I don't even need a real picture of this guy, just this guy's name.
And you could pick a name.
Right.
Find his photo online.
Right.
And come up with some bass-ackward signature right on the spot.
Right.
Because how can they prove it?
I don't know. But seriously, now... Anybody who listens to this episode is going to be like, oh, well, I could just use your name and everything. Well, let me ask you a question, everybody. What's my real name?
It's.
No, but I mean, you could get a who is. You're not going to get my real name. Anyway, I know this song. Anyway.
Well, you know how we're talking about when the IBM was bought out, we're wondering what they're going to do with this stuff.
IBM was bought out? Oh, their PC line.
Yeah, their PC line.
Right.
Well, what they're going to do with this stuff? Well, the first tablet PC is supposed to be for businesses earlier. But they're showing their first tablet PC off, the ThinkPad X41.
So that's Lenovo, then?
Yeah, from China's Lenovo group at...
Right.
Yeah. At the Microsoft Tech Ed thing, they showed off.
Fun.
Yeah. So that's something they're doing.
Yep. I should open up my browser.
Yeah. Oh, you'll like this one, Slick.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh, what is this one?
It's from one of my favorite sources.
BBC?
Yes. Pac-Man comes to life virtually.
Really?
A human version of the classic arcade game Pac-Man.
What?
Superimposing the virtual 3D game world onto city streets and buildings is being developed by researchers at Singapore. I'll send you.
Okay, what is this?
I'm gonna put the link in the IRC.
Yeah, I forgot about that whole IRC thing. Right, I'm on that.
There it is.
Maybe I should try to keep that window open somewhat.
Yeah. Echoing in, yeah. So players wear special headsets to be able to see in the game. Players equipped with a wearable computer, headset, and goggles can physically enter a real-world game space by choosing to play the role of Pac-Man or one of the ghosts. A central computer keeps track of all their movements with the aid of GPS receivers and a wireless local area network. The human Pac-Man was developed by Adrian... David Chick, whatever, and his team at the Mixed Reality Lab.
Oh my god, I want to play.
Okay, so pretty much what they're gonna... Oh my god, this actually seems pretty cool. wow. They're trying to get lazy fat asses out of the computer by keep putting their games in the real world.
Wait, does this mean I might actually get muscles if I were to play this?
Combining both real and virtual elements, the game allows human Pac-Man to see virtual cookies with the aid of the special headset.
scattered on the street, which the players can then eat by walking through them.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Ghosts get to devour the player by tapping them on the shoulder when they catch up to them within the game area.
But well, you mean you could actually be a ghost?
Yes.
Oh, no, that's cool.
From the picture, it looks like you actually see the outside. You see, like, actually see the world, but there's computer graphics. You have, like, you have a heads-up display with a map in the bottom, your score, your game, and the pellets go off into the distance.
That's cool. I see that picture right now.
That's really, really cool. With the floor, test runs were conducted on the university campus within a 70-meter by 70-meter game zone. With a 4-player minimum. A typical game was played out in about 10 to 20 minutes.
That's pretty cool stuff.
This is actually really... Alternate reality is called, I guess. Most attempts to alternate, like, alternate reality Pac-Man or alternate reality Quake? Wow.
Wow, that's cool.
Rely on having very accurate models of the physical world, such as the trees, cars, buildings, which is practically impossible. The first world is just too complicated, and second changes too much. Cars, people move, trees grow, etc. The research team at Syncore says that though a totally accurate real-world model is not necessary, they're trying to work on...
Well, it may be that the special headset that you wear, it looks like there's a camera on the front, so maybe that takes the picture, and there's also some type of wireless thing locates your position through
GPS.
Triangulation.
GPS.
Oh, it is GPS? Okay.
Well, first of all, I have no idea how expensive this would be.
And pretty much it just superimposes the whatever's there, a ghost, a pellet or whatever, on top of the video image that you're getting on your headset.
It says, with current position in technology, is this kind of accuracy is still a major issue. They say for different stuff, like the main challenge, of course, lies in placing the models in the right place. For example, we won't see a Pac-Man walking into the wall of a castle. Currently, GPS receivers have an accuracy of 10 to 30 meters. Before flawless gaming experience, augmented reality games need the error margin to be within the millimeter range.
Right.
Tracking players also becomes impossible when they get too close to high-rise buildings that block GPS signals. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say they'd have to... What I would like to see is, like, you know how the big game rooms have those laser tag things?
Yeah, just
set something up like that with an actual Pac-Man maze. That would be cool. I would pay money to play one of those.
An entire system costs anywhere from $10,000 to $20,000. It's expected to take a number of years before its technology can be truly afforded by the average gamer, of course. But yeah, I was actually going to say that right before you did. Right.
Yeah.
I was going to say that. Yeah, but...
We should do that. We should buy a building out, make a Pac-Man thing, make it like the cool moon thing. Set it up with very simple triangulation. Like have the walls all with like a transmitter. People wear the receivers and it transmits back to using Wi-Fi or something to a base. That'd be pretty easy to do.
But we need the rest of the technology.
What's the rest of that? Oh, the video superimposing? No, that's easy.
Do we have the goggles that you could see the real world with the the fake world over it?
Dude, all you need... You see the goggles? It's got a video camera on the front.
Yeah.
Get a cheapo small video camera, like a webcam could do that. Have that put the image in the computer, which they're probably wearing on, like, a backpack or something. Well, no, I don't see a backpack. It's probably all on the helmet, or wherever those wires are going to. And, and from there, it would know your location. It would have stored to whatever location you are where the pellets would be and where other people's locations are. That would be transmitting back from the base station using Wi-Fi. And it seems pretty simple to me. And then just put the graphic over the video and put it in the webcam. Set the webcam as the root window. Bam, done.
We don't have the money to do that.
No, we don't. But I'm just saying, it would be freaking awesome.
Oh, okay. I thought you were actually saying we should do this.
Well, you know, it would be cool, but I don't think it'd be, like, plausible.
Okay.
Be giving the money situations and whatnot.
See, that's where I was getting confused.
Yeah.
I'm like, what? Okay, well, that's really cool. I like it. I want to see it happen at, like, at least, like, arcade game.
Exactly.
That'd be fun.
Then we could really all look like idiots, like, The Plague. Playing that... Well, that was VR, though.
And you know what else is fun? porn.
Oh, yes. You mean the .xxx domain?
Yeah, but porn's fun. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, you weren't even talking about the .xxx domain. You just had that on one of your tabs by accident, didn't you?
Porn. Yeah, I was trying to find porn and came up with this. No.
Okay.
No. Okay, so... No. This coming,
You're, like, thinking, damn, I copied the wrong link.
Yeah.
Damn. Now I'm looking at Goatsy.
Okay, so... Things going on. Wait, that's actually funny. One of their terms is sex ghetto.
What?
The question as how to categorize sexual websites was picked up by Lorba, a well-known net privacy campaigner. Also as... I don't know. Well, the .xxx, yeah. You want to talk about it?
Let's see. I do have an article in front of me. A proposal to create net domains ending .xxx has been approved by the body that oversees the net's addressing system. I guess they're referring to, ICANN. Anyways, sexually explicit sites will be encouraged to move to the new domains to make it easier for people to filter and avoid them.
Oh, yeah, like they're gonna do that, then. They don't want to be avoided.
Well, I mean, the ones that follow, like, the rules and whatnot, have that enter page and whatnot, they probably all will.
You mean unlike Google?
What was that? Unlike Google, yeah. Anyway, Google images.
All you have to do is, there's a... Safe search is on. Right under, when you go to Google images, under the search one, it says safe search is on. You click on that and select to turn off filtering off and submit it. And it turns safe search off.
Very fun.
You can find anything.
The .xxx approval reverses earlier decisions to block it over fears that it would be ineffective and controversial. How is it controversial? There's already websites on there with porn.
Because
it just separates it from the rest.
Admitting it is a big thing.
Well,
it's admitting it that it's like, oh, it's so huge it has to get its own...
Well, there are multiple magazines out there as well. They need their own news rack.
Yes,
why can't they get
those,
their own...
But with those, they have a black plastic cover over them.
Well, whatever. Sometimes. It depends where you are, I guess. Yeah. So, yeah, .xxx. I wonder what Google.xxx is going to be. It's going to be Booble.
So is it? I'm trying that.
There is one.
Are you serious?
I'm pretty certain. That's probably how I came up with it so quickly.
Booble.
And what comes up?
The adult search engine.
Exactly.
So I'm going to use this. Images, personals, live cams and chat, toys and DVDs, video on demand.
Video on demand?
Booble IM, Booble Boards, Booble Shop, Sex Blogs, and Firefox plugin.
Okay, do they have...
Wait, there's a Firefox plugin?
Okay.
I'm gonna click on it.
Yeah, advertise this one.
It's a search engine, so you could add it to, you know, the little search bar. I'm gonna put that in there. I got it.
Fun. Yeah, but I mean,
I don't see it in there.
Let's not keep advertising these guys if they... If they sell stuff on there or anything.
Oh, right.
Anyhow. I'll get on to something else now that you're done for the day.
No, anyway, I'll close that for now.
Yeah. Advertisers tap brain science. Speaking of ads. Mm-hmm. Scientists are scanning brain activity in the hopes of catching a sight of the physical mechanisms that determine whether you prefer Coke over Pepsi. Isn't that kind of weird?
Wait.
So they could see if it's in your genes.
If you prefer...
If it's in your genetics.
Well, wait, how can it be in your genetics?
Well, brain activity in general.
Yeah, but it's a man-made thing.
No, it's not a genetic thing, but if your brain works one way... Like,
okay.
If your genetic means your brain operates in one specific way, you may like Coke.
Taste buds.
Yeah.
It's the taste buds.
Well, it's... Yeah, I guess it is. The way you taste things.
Kind of like Dr. Pepper is the god of all sodas.
The nascent research known as neuromarketing could one day lead to new advertising strategies that directly simulate hardwired mental reflexes rather than appealing to fuzzy consumer attitudes. That's kind
of weird. First of all, they had to use the word fuzzy.
Fuzzy, yeah, why fuzzy? I don't prefer my drink to be fuzzy tasting. Anyway, the hope in neuromarketing is that there is some process in the brain that is a better predictor of whether people will actually buy things than what we already have, said Colin Kammerer, professor of business economics at the California Institute of Technology. Over the past few years, American and German neuroscientists have been using functional magnetic resonance imaging, or fMRI, brain scans to observe what happens in the brain when people evaluate things like beer, cars, and politicians. Yeah, beer, cars, and politicians.
Well,
yeah,
that makes sense. Everyone talks about politics,
yeah.
Even if whether they like it or not.
So my question here, they don't mention it, but do they get omni-scans, these people that they test this on?
I don't know.
Because they are talking about magnetic resonance imaging.
I'll have to ask about fMRIs if they use contrast.
Ah. Well, I mean, normally it is because it's magnetic resonance.
Yeah, what's the F mean again?
Functional.
Oh.
Pretty much what they do is they pump magnets into your blood. And then they see then the MRI actually gets them to resonate, and it checks the how much or what frequency they resonate at to get the image.
Oh, they already have another update.
OmniScan is that metal shit, the magnetic shit that they pump in you. So
I liked it.
You got OmniScan?
No. I got contrast.
Oh, I wonder.
Okay. Okay, so
Morbid may have been OmniScanned the real way.
Okay, let's see. Here's something we always fear.
What do we fear?
Microsoft releases software update tools.
Yeah, that's the perfect background right there.
I like that.
Yeah, that so well. Anyway, what is this software update tool
Microsoft
thing do?
Microsoft made available on Monday the much delayed Windows Server Update Services patching tool and update software patching services, which the company has originally planned to ship in the first half of 2004. Wow, so they're just about a year behind. Okay, shipping in mid-July will be two other software update tools currently in beta, Microsoft Baseline Security Analyzer 2.0 and Systems Management Server 2003 inventory tool from Microsoft.
Okay.
Wait. System Management Server 2003 inventory tool for Microsoft. What year is it?
Yeah, it's 2005, isn't it?
I think so, last I checked.
So it only took 2 years for you to update your box. Very interesting.
All four will feed off the same software update infrastructure and grab code from the same back-end software catalog, simplifying the process and making it consistent for consumers and IT professionals, said some guy. Vice President of Microsoft's Security Business and Technology Unit.
I'm wondering, SP2 was last year, right? 2004?
Yeah. That's such a pain in their environments.
Now, think about it. 2003, half the things that SP2 corrected
weren't even around.
Half, but yeah, so, wow, that's kind of interesting patch.
We've heard from customers that updates are a big pain in their environments. They want us to do whatever we can to minimize the cost associated with updates, and this gives both consumers and IT professionals a single place to look for those updates.
You know what a big pain in my environment is?
Microsoft?
Yeah.
Okay. Like MU, Microsoft... Well, I guess Microsoft Updates, I don't know.
Actually, no, that's a lie, because it's not in my environment.
Yeah, Microsoft Update, the successor for the The existing Windows Update service will provide updates from various Microsoft products, not just Windows, and is aimed primarily at home users and small businesses.
Okay.
Meanwhile, the Windows Server Update software succeeds the existing software update service tool, Microsoft's no-charge patch management tool for business users. Microsoft officials have said in the past that WSUS includes improvements in patch delivery, status reporting, network usage, and improved implementation and administration flexibility. Like MU, WSUS is also available for Microsoft operating systems for patches for operating systems as well as Office XP 2003, SQL Server, MSDE, Exchange 2000 Server, and Exchange Server 2003 products. Microsoft has it. Okay. So, how about instead of spending so much time worrying about how their update tools are so they can fix their stuff, why don't they just spend more time making good software?
I don't know. Well, I mean, maybe that's what they are doing with Longhorn.
You think?
Yeah.
Well, the music changed, so let's get off the Microsoft deal.
Okay.
That was perfectly timed, though.
Yeah, okay, well...
All that screaming and whatever the hell was going on in the
background. I like that one.
Yeah. Well, you are morbid.
Yes. Okay, Bluetooth.
What about it?
Another vulnerability.
Another?
Well, we had that whole one about the cell phone issue with Bluetooth where it would...
Oh, right.
It would just kill the battery.
Yeah, but now there's a way around the fix for that. Is that what it is?
This says, I don't know, the attack could be used against a handset with security features switched on. I guess Bluetooth handsets have security features. Okay.
Yeah.
Two security researchers say they've discovered a technique for taking control of Bluetooth-enabled mobile phones, even when the handsets have security features switched on. The technique is a practical implementation of a technique described by Ollie Whitehouse of security firm At Stake last year, which allows an attacker with specialized equipment to connect to a Bluetooth handset without authorization. Once the connection is established, the attacker could make calls on the target's handset, siphon off data, or listen in on data transfers between the device and, for example, a PC. Some security firms recommend financial traders avoid Bluetooth handsets because of the potential attack. But this seems like you actually have to have, like, of course, it's saying it right now, you have to have specific equipment. Is the average person...
Yeah. It only works on with one specific... What was it? I don't know, I don't have the article in front of me.
Wait,
it only works with one handset?
Well, I don't know, I'm not sure. It doesn't say anything
about it. I thought it meant it was a specific thing that you needed in order to, like, exploit the thing.
Yeah, you need equipment. It says, an attacker with specialized equipment. Who knows what specialized equipment is? That's the only detail they go into it.
Okay.
Interesting. It could just be another Bluetooth phone, who knows?
Wouldn't be too surprising. Got more news?
Yeah.
You're like, I hope so.
Yeah. No, I finally saw you. I saw you IM'd me.
Oh, okay.
So I IM'd you back. Okay.
Yippee.
Here's one that I whatever. Modern games are too long, Miyamoto says.
Miyamoto?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. Do you not know who Miyamoto is?
No.
Then you're not as geeky as I am.
No, I'm not. Should I know it? And I'll know it as soon as I hear it.
He kind of came up with a pretty popular game. If it's the Miyamoto, I think it's Miyamoto. What's the first name?
Just is. Let's see. Miyamoto.
Oh. Maybe it's not that person then. No, but I would assume it is, since he's talking about video games being too long.
Yeah.
Came up with Mario.
Okay. I was going to guess either...
Owner of Nintendo?
I was going to guess Mega Man, but... Yeah. Okay, I've heard many gamers complain that a lot of games today are too short and lack any great replay value. Miyamoto, on the other hand, feels that modern games are just too long and drawn out.
Aren't most of them just, like, multiplayer things? Oh. At least the ones that I know a lot of people are into.
Well, like Grand Theft Auto, that's really long, but it is, but because it's so open ended, and you can either go just through the main storyline or do all the side quests. But the thing is, some people like that. I personally don't want to go out and spend $50 on a game that I could beat in one day.
That's true.
I mean, the games are so expensive nowadays that you want them to have content and you want them to be able to be played for a long time, because, you know, games aren't the same anymore. They're not like the classic NES or SNES games where no matter how many times you could beat them, you still want to play them.
Interesting.
Yeah, you know.
Ooh, Firefox vulnerable to 7-year-old bug. It's not a little weird. Mozilla's current browsers, including the popular standalone Firefox, are susceptible again to a 7-year-old vulnerability that could let attackers spoof websites, a security company said Monday. According to Danish security firm Secunia, Mozilla 1.7.x and Firefox 1x are vulnerable to a frame injection flaw that was first surfaced in 1998. Hackers could exploit the bug to insert their own content into the view of a legitimate site to, for instance, pose as the login frame, then collect usernames and passwords to online bank accounts, for example. So that's interesting. This flaw means that if you are viewing a trusted site in one window, PayPal or your bank, and open a site belonging to a spoofer in another window, the spoofer can insert code in the window showing the trusted site, wrote a moderator on Mozilla's online forum Monday. Secunia rated the bug as moderately critical and posted an example exploit so users could test their browsers for the flaw. The same vulnerability was spotted in Firefox as well as virtually every other browser in use almost a year ago and fixed in a pre-release version of Firefox and in Mozilla 1.7. The new vulnerability is a slight variation of that fixed flaw. To protect yourself, close all other Windows tabs before accessing a site where you routinely put in a secure password or your bank or credit card details or other sensitive data, recommended Mozilla's online moderator. So that's probably going to be fixed soon.
Mm-hmm, yeah. So it's funny. Mozilla's on top of their game with modern things.
Yeah, but a 7-year-old bug, that's kind of interesting. I just saw that now.
Yeah.
Got any more news? Or are you scanning as am I?
Email addiction's good.
It is?
Yeah. Well,
good. Go me.
Time Warner's America Online division conducted with opinion research.
Oh, well, never mind.
4,012 Americans age 18 and older about their email habits and concluded that Americans are addicted. Here's some quick little facts.
I have something to say about AOL, but keep going.
Yeah, whatever. Email has forever changed the way we communicate and relates to such eye-openers as 41% of respondents check email first thing in the morning. I do that. 23% check their email in bed. When I was only using my laptop, I did that. And 4% say they read email in the bathroom. Can't say I ever did that.
Or shitting.
Poop. 26% say they don't like going 2 or 3 days without access to email. See, it's more of the access to instant messenger or, like, certain websites for me.
Okay. Yeah. Well, let's see. What I was going to say about AOL, I had jury duty this week. Lucky me. That pretty much meant for 3 days in a row, there was nothing to do except for daytime programming on the TV there. So, of course, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire was on.
Ooh.
And they have, I mean, it's interesting, some of the things. But whenever they'd poll the audience, they'd have a secondary poll among AOL users. Those people are fucking morons. Everything that AOL did that was polled was wrong. So, and it was completely contradictive to the people in the audience. It's kind of weird. It's not like the audience was ever the best either, but... It's just like, yeah, it's like an AOL poll. Whatever they don't say is what I'm going for, I was thinking. whatever.
I figured out who that other person in a chat room was.
Oh, who was that?
Ghostless with a new name.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah. So I say that, so Ghost was like, yes, should have said that earlier, because I thanked him for doing the setting up the IRC thing.
Nice.
Yeah.
Auto ops for you. Oh, yeah. Just registered. Okay.
What? Again.
What is that?
What's auto ops?
Auto ops?
Yeah.
So we become operators of the IRC channel.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Oh, okay. Maybe you shouldn't have that since you're such a noob to IRC.
Maybe I'll learn IRC.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I've never had any need to use it.
Well, the only thing you really got to know is an op is slash kick.
No, oh, okay.
That's about it.
I don't think we'll have to worry about that. Okay, so I'm done with news. You got anything left? I refresh my stuff.
Well, do you have any shouts?
No.
You don't?
No.
Well, I have shouts to Murdoch. I saw him at the party. I saw a bunch of people at the party. I probably forget everyone. Jerry, I usually don't see him around. One of Echo's buddies. And yeah, of course, everybody who normally is here that isn't there. And oh, look. Ghostless is now on IRC saying hello there. So, shouts to Ghostless. We have an IRC channel on Downnet. Right now, I'm logged into serenity.ix.us.dal.net. And speaking with Ghostless and Morbid on there. So, yay. Screw this AOL shit. Goodbye, game. Alright. And that concludes this week's BaseNet Radio. We hope you have enjoyed the show. If you have any questions, comments, or flames, send an email to basenet@slickzero.net. if you are listening to this on DDP Hack Radio or Rant Radio. Up next is Binary Revolution Radio. Check out their stuff. Very good stuff.
Peace.
Peace.